Okay, here we go. The Sooners are 5-0. Texas is 3-2. And it is a pivotal game for the Longhorns on Saturday. A critical stretch that they're facing. Certainly, you know, nationally, there has been so much speculation about the future of Texas athletics and the future of Mack Brown. Fortunately for the Longhorns, they were able to escape out of Ames, Iowa last Saturday with that comeback to beat the Cyclones. That one-point win. Hey, you only got to win by one. And it is a pleasure to welcome back to our program at Yahoo Sports Radio from CBS Sports, former UT standout, the great Brian Jones. How are you, sweet bee?
I'm doing great. You know it's hate week, so I shouldn't be talking to you.
Well, a little Boomer Sooner before we get underway there, Longhorn.
Exactly.
Well, listen, we've got so many storylines that I want to hit on in regards to this matchup. But first, I want to get your views, your perspective on what is the state of Texas football. Help us size it up of all the things that have transpired since the last time we had a conversation.
Yeah, and when we last spoke, I pointed to two games, even though I thought Texas was back. And I believe Mack Brown, when he proclaimed at the Big 12 media day prior to the season commencing, that they were back and that they would be part of the national conversation. Little did I know that, yes, they would be part of the national conversation, but in a negative way. Those two games I pointed to were BYU and Ole Miss. Texas was thoroughly whipped and embarrassed in both of those football games, and it was a shock. And as I said earlier, the head coach proclaimed that they would be back. He was sorely wrong and mistaken, and we sit here now with a football team and program that's really reeling the fan base as well. And they're tired of Mack Brown, myself included, and this isn't a knee-jerk reaction. This has been going on some time, and you know, for 4 years, or at least the last 3 years, we've heard that he was going to turn this thing around and he overhauled the coaching staff, and yet the same problems persist, and that's a team that seems self-entitled, a team that's soft, and a team that's weak and timid. So unfortunately, they go into this ball game thinking that are trying to prevent a third straight loss or fourth straight loss to the Sooners. They've lost the last three and the last two by 40 points. So hopefully they won't be embarrassed. As they've stated, they still have a lot to play for. They're sitting there 2-0 in conference. As you mentioned, they squeaked out a victory with some controversy there at Iowa State. But if they can get this one, it'd be a huge feather in the cap, and that goal of winning the Big 12 would still be in sight.
Well, Brian, there was. It was a controversial ending, no doubt about it. But here just a moment ago, you were voicing your displeasure as far as the leadership with head coach Mack Brown. So has other former players, including Heisman winner Earl Campbell. Were you surprised at what he had to say?
I was really surprised because Earl is not one to inject himself in things of this nature. And for him to do that, I think is a serious indictment of the current head football coach there at Texas. And Earl has an office over there at Moncrief Newhouse, the football facility over there, and I'm sure it'll go uninhabited for a while as long as Mack Brown is still the head coach. But you've had a number of people have soured on this program, and as I said, this isn't a knee-jerk reaction on my part. This is a feeling I've had for a long, long time about this coach, even though he was able to mask it with national titles when he had elite athletes like a Vince Young, and getting back to the game with an elite college quarterback like a Colt McCoy. So you've had some great athletes come through there, and in spite of the lack of development from their head coach, they've gone on to do great things and help elevate the program. But I say it this way, Big E, like Mark Sanchez with the New York Jets, when he's got great players around him, he's a pretty good quarterback. But as we've seen over the last couple of years, when he doesn't have those elite players around him, he sucks. He's terrible. And it's the same with Mack Brown, head coach of the Texas program. When there are elite athletes on that campus, hey, the sky's the limit. He can do no wrong. But when he doesn't have that, he is not great at developing them. And that's been sorely illuminated over the last 3-4 years.
You're listening to the voice of Brian Jones with CBS Sports. He is giving us the pulse on Texas athletics. And so my question to you is, does Mack Brown, does he have to beat OU in order to save his job?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely he has to beat OU. As I said, they've been embarrassed. The last 3 years, they've lost on average by 29 points. The last 2 years, by 40. And we've seen this run before, early 2000 to 04. Bob Stoops had won five straight versus him, now on the verge of winning four straight. He has to win this football game, and he has to win out, I think, ideally, to save his job. And I see three or four other difficult games on that schedule. So, he definitely has to win this one.
Okay, what happens hypothetically if he catches lightning in the bottle and they're able to turn the ship around? Does he save his job?
Well, if he wins out, he stays. It's simple as that. They catch lightning in the bottle, he wins out, he stays.
You know, I've been thinking about Mac Brown's, his body of work, and you're talking about the numbers and production-wise, but they have really, the Longhorns have missed out on some quality quarterbacks throughout the years.
Yes.
Can you kind of expound on that as far as, you know, from Johnny Manziel to RG3, and I'm even thinking of Andrew Luck.
Yeah, exactly. All three of those, and now there were reports earlier a couple weeks ago about Jameis Winston wanting to had an interest in the Texas Longhorns, the redshirt freshman who's doing just wonderful work for undefeated Florida State right now. And Mac Brown has even alluded to the fact that his evaluation of these young men has slipped over the past few years, and you can see it. And there's nothing wrong with guys not actually being 3 and 4 and 5 stars. It's what you do with them once you get on campus. I played with a lot of guys coming out of high school who were considered blue-chip athletes, and they were terrible. So there's nothing wrong with not having a lot of accolades associated with your name once you step on campus. It's what you do with those guys once they get there. That's the key. Do you develop them? If they're not 3 and 4 and 5 stars, do you make them into those type of players? So that's the key right there. And he has not been adept at doing that, nor has that staff. So that's a problem.
Well, player development obviously is very key. But I have to ask you, Brian, as a former player, Longhorn, your eligibility is up, unfortunately. How big of a distraction is this for the team? You got to keep these kids off of the internet and reading the papers and everything. Like I was talking about, there's so much speculation nationally going on right now.
There are always going to be distractions, and you've got to learn to tune that out. When I was at Texas, I transferred from UCLA to go to Texas, and Texas wasn't in a good place at that time. We had lost a few to Oklahoma, 6 straight to Texas A&M, and they called us everything but a child of God. That's just part of it. It comes with the territory. You know you're going to be scrutinized. You know there's going to be critical analysis, and you understand that. And you control the things you can control, which is your play, which is your work ethic, your determination. And that's how you deal with it. You focus on the job at hand. I can't worry about what somebody over here is saying about me. If I go out there and just do my job, if I win, everything else takes care of itself. And that's the key to anything in life. Half the people are going to hate you. The other half will like you. And that's it. And once you understand that, you're going to be fine in this world. I get hate mail each week from doing my job at CBS Sports on my radio show. I don't care. They still listen, so I must be doing something right. And so as a football player and having been in that situation where we ended my junior year at Texas 5-6, that was embarrassing. We put our heads down. We implemented a new off-season workout program. And the next season, we turned it around and ended up winning conference and being ranked number 3 in the nation heading into the bowl game. So that's the key. It's not rocket science. Just focus on the task at hand.
We're breaking it all down. Texas Athletics with Brian Jones, CBS Sports, as we get you ready and set for OU Texas on Saturday. And just I want you, Brian, now to weigh in on the future in terms of with the athletic director. Obviously, the stepping down with the athletic director, that obviously was a huge move this past week with DeLoss Dodds.
Well, DeLoss did a wonderful job for the University of Texas. So you have to tip your hat to him. He was outstanding. He's the reason that they annually generate more revenue in that athletic program than any other institution. DeLoss will be treated favorably by history. He will be looked upon in a great light because he helped elevate that program and the stature of the UT, not only athletics. I would venture to say that he had a hand in elevating the academic prowess of that university as well. So he had a nice run, 32-year run. Here lately, there have been some bumps in the road, but he will be looked upon favorably.
What candidates that are emerging, do you have a favorite that...
I have no... I've heard a number of names. You hear about Bosby, who's the Big 12 commissioner. I've heard that they may go after Oliver Luck, who's used to live in Houston, and I know Oliver, good guy, but now, of course, is the AD at West Virginia. And I would say at the top of the list would be current women's athletic director at UT, and that would be Chris Plonsky. I would think it would have to begin there. But as far as anyone else, that would be an uninformed opinion on my part, so I wouldn't want to speculate.
Well, you know, you have to wonder, too, how quickly will they try to solidify? Because DeLoss will be there, what, until August of 2014?
Right, exactly, and apparently he wanted to hang on that long to give them enough time to do all their due diligence in finding his replacement. So a little odd for him to hang on right until the beginning of the next football season. So I don't know if there was anything nefarious at play with that date being set, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Okay, Brian Jones is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. Follow us at Twitter at eradiosports. Getting you ready for Texas OU, the Red River rivalry. The Longhorns enter into this game 3-2, and they certainly, as you were just talking about, Brian, they pick up that one-point win on the road against Iowa State. And if there's one thing that I take away from that is that, you know, those comeback kind of wins, you can relate to this, that really inoculates you and gives you that boost of confidence that, you know, you got to keep playing until the very end.
Well, definitely that. And you don't want to stop, as you know, until the whistle blows and keep fighting. And it's interesting, if you listen to the announcers during that game, they all said, from a Iowa State player perspective, they thought Texas would cave and that Texas was a team that would quit. And that's interesting coming from Iowa State. Come on now. When they think that about you, you know you got problems. I would expect that from an Oklahoma, you know, someone like that. But yeah. Texas A&M, but not Iowa State. So, wow, how far the mighty have fallen for us Longhorns. But let's see if they can continue to build on that. They've had a nice little layoff because that game was on a Thursday night, so they've had some extra days to prepare for the Red River rivalry, and let's see if they come ready to play, because they haven't in the last few years, and it's been interesting that they have not been as enthusiastic about the matchup in the past. So, like I said when we started this, it's 8 week, and they need to feel that and understand the magnitude and the significance of this game.
Okay, we are up against the clock. We're going to step aside for just a quick break, and we'll be right back as we're going to continue with our conversation with Brian Jones from CBS Sports as we get you ready. Pregame, OU Texas, Texas OU.